All God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to read Psalm 147. I'm in that spirit. I can't get out of these last five chapters of Psalms in the book of Psalms, Psalm 147. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord does build up Jerusalem. Amen. You know, we need to pray for Israel. Amen. It's a firestorm over there. It's a war-torn country. It's evil. It's awful. But that's God's people and that's God's land. Amen. More importantly, that's His land and that's His city. And Jerusalem will be the capital of the world one day. Amen. The Lord does build up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcast of Israel. He heals the broken in heart and binds up their wound. He tells the number of the stars. He calls them all by their names. And He knows you by your name this morning. Amen. Each and every person in the world and everybody here, He knows you by your name. Amen. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. He knows everything. He created everything and He knows everything. Amen. The Lord lifts up the meek. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Amen. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covers the heaven with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow upon the mountain. You know, all these climate change nut jobs, you know, God, I was just praying and reading this morning, God created everything, amen. We have a little farm, have a few cows and things, you know, and behold, lo and behold, we have a bull, and every year, the cows have calves. It's nature, amen, it's nature. The grass grows, the sun comes up in the morning. You know, in the 70s, they were talking about the Great Ice Age coming again. And then a few years later, it was global warming. 50 years from now, if the Lord tarries, there'll be another ice age coming. So it's just the way it is. He gives, covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass to grow upon the mountains. He gives to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. He delights not in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in them who fear Him, in those who hope in His mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For He has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. He makes peace in your borders. And I just thought about this morning, you know, peace is coming. Amen. Right now, especially Israel, Jerusalem, everywhere in the world, especially thinking about that this morning in the Middle East, there's no peace. Amen. And, you know, it wasn't as bad until Israel was reborn as a nation in 1948. And then all hell broke loose, right? All of the demons and evil powers came against Israel, all over the world, all the Muslim countries, all the Arabs, all the Palestinians, and it's going to continue like that until Jesus, the Prince of Peace, comes back and puts an end to all that foolishness. Amen. He sends forth His commandment upon earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the hoarfrost like ashes. He casts forth His ice like morsels. Who can stand before His cold? He sends out His word and melts them. Amen. He causes His wind to blow and the waters flow. He's control of all nature. Amen. I read last night with Levi and Jesus calming the storm. And He said, peace be still. And the disciples said, who is this man that even the wind and the seas obey Him? They marveled. Jesus is in control of all that. Amen. He's in control of everything. Amen. He shows His word unto Jacob, His statutes and His judgments unto Israel. He has not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. So I just came here to say this morning, we need to pray for Israel. Amen. All that situation. The Jews are not saved if they have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but that's still God's people. You know, the Jewish people brought forth this entire Bible, from Moses to David to Nehemiah to Esther to Job to Paul to John. They brought forth the Bible. They brought forth, as Brother Swaggart says, the womb of the Messiah. Amen. And we need to pray for them in this country and everything that's going on and all the evil Palestinian protests and all that kind of stuff is evil. And if you follow the Bible, then you understand that. Amen. We need to stand for righteousness. And they said over, I think I heard over SBN, but, you know, President Trump said that he's, I've heard this, that he's no longer in favor of a two-state solution. And that's what we need to pray for. Amen. We need to pray for this country. We need to pray for the elections. We need to pray for our politicians. We need to pray for Israel. We need to pray that God gives us one more chance to preach the gospel and puts the right man in office, and we can help Israel, and we will eventually, very soon, the Lord will come back and take away his church and then take care of Israel. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, come to you in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for this church service this morning. Lord God, we thank you for each and every person gathered here this morning. Lord Jesus, God, we rebuke the enemy in Jesus' name. Lord God, we rebuke any kind of evil spirits, Lord God, that come against your people, Lord God, that come against your country, Lord God, that come against Israel, Lord God. We pray, God, for the downtrodden, Lord God. We pray for the drug addicts, for the homosexuals, for the alcoholics, for the homeless people, for the people that are down with depression, with discouragement, with suicidal thoughts, Lord Jesus. We pray for each and every person, God, that can hear your gospel, Lord Jesus. We pray that they will accept you as their personal Lord and Savior, and you will change their hearts and their lives, God. Pray that someone will get saved this morning, God. Someone will get healed this morning, Lord God. Someone will get baptized with the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking with other tongues this morning, Lord God. Please anoint your service and your people this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Oh, get up, oh, get up. Get up in Jesus' name. The Lord. Valley down in the street. his grace to serve the Lord and to look upon his face. But the way's been long and the way's been rough, but there is one thing for sure. A foolish woman, I've got my mind made up.
I've got my foot on the rock and my mind's made up. Well, though I walk through the lonely valley, though I drink from a bitter cup, when the devil comes a knocking, showing me an easier way, I stand right square on my feet. I throw my
trust in Jesus. Say, Lord, I've had enough. The Lord will say, move on. Say, she's got her mind made up.
I've got my foot on the rock and my mind's made up.
Well,
though I walk through the lonely valley, though I drink from a bitter cup, when the devil comes and knocking, showing me an easier way,
my mind's made up.
Well, though I walk through the lonely
children. He's God of Abraham. He's God in the fiery furnace. And he's God the great I am.
I know God is God.
They're praising this morning.
God don't
he's God.
Change.
No matter what you're going through,
God
no matter the circumstance, hallelujah.
And he always will be God.
He's God in New York City. He's God in Tennessee. He's God way up in heaven. And he's God all over me.
I know God is God. God don't ever change. I know God is God. And he always will be God.
He's God that gave us Jesus. He's God that brought me out. He's God who is in heaven. He's the God that makes me shout.
Well, I know God is God.
Well,
God don't ever change. I know God is God. And he always will be God.
Well, he's God that gave us Jesus. He's God that gave us Paul. He filled us with the Holy Ghost and saved us all.
I know God is God. God don't ever change. I know God is God. And he always will be God.
Amen. I want to tell you something. Until you're born again and know Jesus Christ, you don't know God. You don't know the power of God. You don't know who he is. But man, when you give your life to him, when you let Jesus come in and he changes you, the Bible says now you've got a new spirit and a new heart. Amen. The God in heaven lives inside of you, and that's why you can now want to shout. That's why you're happy. That's why you're joyful. That's why you can say, praise the Lord. Amen. Are y'all here this morning? Amen. I can feel something moving. Amen. I feel like the Lord wants to touch people today. He wants to do something great in people's hearts and people's lives today. And so whatever your need is, take it to Jesus. Man can't fix your problems. Man can't fix your spiritual problems. Your spiritual problems are spiritually related, and they can only be fixed by the Holy Spirit. I can help you some, but that's about all I can do. It's going to take the Holy Spirit to do the work in you, to do what needs to be done. Every problem man has, it's spiritual. You feel sad this morning, it's spiritual. You feel lost this morning, it's spiritual. You feel depressed this morning, it's spiritual. You hung over from drinking last night, it's spiritual more than it is in the physical. And Satan tries to use these things to destroy God's people, but God is still God, and he don't ever change. I'm glad that God is still God 25 years later since I've known him. He has not changed, and he will not change, and he's still doing everything he did the day he saved me, and he's even doing more. Amen. Good to see everybody this morning. Y'all looking good this morning. Amen. Come back to church tonight at 5:30 and get you some more. Amen. We're going to take up the offering this morning. It's good to see Karen's family here this morning. These young ones, amen. Good to see everybody that came this morning. We're glad to have y'all. People watching through the internet, through Facebook and YouTube. I'd like to just remind everybody that is watching, for people who want to watch more through YouTube, we have a YouTube channel. I don't mention it enough, but if you search Family Worship Center, Athens, Tennessee, you can find our YouTube channel and subscribe to it. And there's tons of videos on there that go back for years, from the church here, some many, many years ago, I guess 8 or 10 years back probably. And so you can watch videos, you can kind of see where we were 10 years ago and where we are now. I tell you, I look back sometimes and I go back 10 or 15 years ago and I try to watch myself preaching. I said, thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you, Lord, for the changes. Thank you that I ain't the same. Adam, you ever do that? You go back, you watch some videos a few years back, and you'll be like, man, I'm a rookie. I sound countrified. I got one when I first started preaching. I said, Lord, have mercy. You talk about a hillbilly. Man, I mean, I sounded, whoo, it was good preaching, but man, it was hillbilly. My wife said, you need to clean up. You need to start saying things. And she didn't tell me how to say things, but, you know, she tried to be the teacher to me, the speech teacher and the English teacher, you know, like moms try to do with their children. And if they don't say the word just right, she used to get on me all the time. She finally quit. She realized she ain't going to be able to do anything with me. But the Lord's doing something with me, amen. Amen. He can take your backward speech and anoint it. Amen. He can use Abraham to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. He can turn it around. Amen. He can touch people with it. No matter how backwards you are, God ain't worried about that. It's your heart that he looks at. It's not your speech. It's not how well you can speak. It's your heart. It's the anointing. Amen. So it's good to see everybody. Let's take up the offering this morning while you're good and happy. And if you need a touch this morning, if you need prayer, come this morning and we'll pray that the Lord will touch you for whatever you need, physically, spiritually, financially. People watching through the internet, we got people that are sick. People have asked for prayer for certain things. I got people in my family. I've got another brother, half-brother, that's not in good shape and probably not going to be here very much longer. Somebody said, how many brothers you got? It's a long story. But I got another one. He's older, one of the older brothers, but keep him in prayer and that the Lord will have his way in our family, and I pray that he'll use it to bring some people to him. That's the only good thing I can see coming out of death is salvation and life. Amen. That the Lord can deal with people while their hearts are soft. Amen. He can do that. So I've seen him do it many times. So pray for people who have issues, who have sickness in the family, death in the family, whatever it is, that God will get some glory and bring somebody to his son, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus this morning. I ask that you have your way in this church. I pray, God, that your spirit would move, Lord. I pray that you touch every person in this place today. Lord, you know what we need. You know how we need it. And Lord, you know why we need it. And Lord, I pray that you meet every single need, spiritually, physically, financially. Lord, those that are sick, God, I ask you to touch them. Lord, my brother, God, I know, Lord, that you know right where he is. And I pray that you go right where he is with your spirit, God, and you comfort him, that you touch his mind, God. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, draw him to you, Lord, closer than ever before, Lord, and deal with him, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you today for who you are, what you've done. I thank you for what you're going to do in this place this morning, Lord. I thank you for those watching today through the internet. And I pray that you bless the offering this morning as we give to you, that you would give it back to us every way that you see fit. In Jesus' name.
seen a way. He made a way. And did I mention that he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him. That's all I want to say. Jesus, how many songs can be sung, oh, about God's Son? Oh, there are not enough words, enough notes in the music, oh, to tell the story of all my Savior has done. He can calm all your fear. He can dry all, let Him dry all your tears. Oh, it's the blood that can give you the strength from day to day.
He's going to make a way. He'll make a way where there seems to be no way. And sometimes He'll let things get really rough, really hard, to where it looks like you're going under. And then He shows up and He moves. He moves for you. He moves in you. He moves through you. He moves through somebody else, amen, to bless you, to speak to you. I'm glad that when sometimes I get down and don't quite know what I'm going to do, and I get a little nervous, the Lord shows up and He shows me how He's going to do it, and He says everything's going to be all right. If He told you to do something, you do it, and if He said it's going to be a certain way, it's going to be a certain way. You don't pay attention to what you see in the natural. You pay attention to what the Lord has told you. When He makes you a promise, you're going to be tested. I'm saying, when He gives you a promise, you're going to be tested on the promise that He gave you to find out if you will believe Him when things don't look so good in the midst of waiting on that promise. And you know what? It's those times that our faith is being built stronger than ever before. When I'm weak, then am I strong, Paul said. Amen. Good to see everybody again this morning. We're going to go to the book of Exodus this morning, chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. I was torn this week about what to preach this morning. I didn't quite know for sure, and I felt like the Lord had told me to go here, and I couldn't quite. I thought, well, Lord, I preached this before. People, they know this, you know, they know this, they know that, they've heard this, and whatever. And I kept feeling the Lord telling me, you preach this, you go here. And it was on my mind for the last 2 mornings. So yesterday morning, I was going through the, I left the house to come here, I had the radio on, and Dave Smith was preaching at Family Worship Center, and he quoted one of my scriptures from Exodus chapter 3 that I had already been reading, and I said, okay, well, thank you, Lord. So after we left prayer meeting yesterday, you know, we left the church, I went down, had to go to Lowe's or whatever, and I ran through to get a little sandwich, and I had the radio on again, and the children's pastor was on doing the closing the children's program. He said, I want to close out today by reading a verse from Exodus chapter 1. And he was quoting some of what the Lord had given me. I said, okay, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Okay, amen. I got it. So I believe that I've got something from the Lord this morning, and I've felt a battle in my spirit over it. When I feel that, I know God wants to do something. When I feel that enemy trying to fight what God has given me, I know the Lord wants to move. When I can feel my own flesh being poked, when I can feel my own self being Satan trying to come against you at times, there's a reason for that, because God is about to do something for you or maybe for somebody else. Amen. Exodus chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible says, no, I'm back up, verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. A lot of ites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. I'm going to read that again. Now behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send you unto Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with you, and this shall be a token unto you that I have sent you. When you have brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. And I want to minister this morning and preach a message on deliverance. I felt this strongly in my spirit, that the Lord wants to deliver some people from some things. And you know, many times when we think about deliverance, I can tell you what most of us think about. We think about the drugs. We think about alcohol. We think about cigarettes. We think about all the outwards. But how many of God's children, they're not in bondage to that, but they're in bondage to other things, good things. Maybe you're in bondage to a person. Maybe you're in bondage to a system, money, a sport, self, come on, what I want to do, my life. As a Christian, you know, as a Christian, you can still be ruled by self. And self will take you nowhere but into bondage. Bondage to self is the worst of all. Because then life begins to center once again around us, me, what I want. Life ain't about me anymore as a Christian. The Bible says you're not your own anymore. You are bought with a price. You're to glorify God in your body, in your soul, and in your spirit. You're not just free to live however you want to live, do whatever you want to do, and join whatever you want to join. You are a soldier in the army of God. You're a servant of the Most High God. But if you don't yield yourself to Jesus Christ every single day, allow Him to have freedom to work in your heart and life, you will find yourself just as the children of Israel in bondage to Satan. Because that's who Pharaoh is a type of. The devil. Who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And I'm not preaching to the world this morning. I'm preaching to the church. I ain't preaching to the heathen this morning. I hope they're listening. I'm talking to Christians. We're talking to believers today that have been, that they've been saved, but they're still in a spiritual Egypt. They're still under the oppressive forces of darkness. They can't get above where they are. They're still stuck in the same old place. If that's you this morning, God wants to bring you out. If you're sick and tired of being the same old, if you're sick and tired of what you see in the mirror, if you're tired of a miserable life, I got good news for you this morning. God wants to bring you out of your bondage. God wants to bring you out of bondage to self, the flesh, the world, the devil, and everything else the world has to offer. Jesus wants to bring His people out. You're God's child. You're not supposed to be stuck in Egypt. You're not supposed to be oppressed by the devil. You're not supposed to be under the dominion of sin, because Jesus Christ broke the power of sin 2,000 years ago. And He didn't do it to leave us where we are. He did it to bring us out. Are you ready to come out? Are you sick and tired of the same old? You know what has to happen with us? That's what has to happen. God has to let you and me go down a road of self and flesh and listening to stuff that ain't right and following preaching that ain't right and going to churches that ain't right to wake us up and to show us something ain't working. He wants to show us why it's not working, because if the message of the cross is not being preached, listen, and applied, accepted into your heart and applied, you will stay in bondage. You can get it up here and miss it down here. Too many people has got this in their mind, but you got to get it into your spirit where it brings the change and the deliverance. Let's pray. Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus. I thank You this morning for Your word. I thank You for Your spirit. And as the song said, when I could see no way, You made a way. And Lord, we know You will always make a way. Lord, we thank You this morning. And Lord, in spite of the chaos going on in this world, You told us to keep our eyes on You. You told us to listen to You, to follow You, and to follow Your voice, to be obedient to Your word. Help us, Lord, to tune out everything going on in the world, not to be ignorant, but to tune it out, not to focus on it, but to make You our focus, to make the gospel, to make Your will for our life our focus. Lord, we thank You this morning. We praise You. We ask that You would have Your way in this place this morning. I pray that You touch every person here today, every person watching today through the internet. I ask that You would move on them, move through them, move in them, work mighty miracles for them, and Lord, bring about the deliverance that Your people need. And we give You the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The Bible said that there was a new king over Egypt after Joseph had died. We know that during the time of Joseph, we all know the end of the story of Joseph from Genesis, don't we, of what God did through Joseph in making him the viceroy of the land of under the old Pharaoh and giving him favor with the people so that it could be used in the latter end. It could be what the devil meant for evil. God had wanted to turn it around and make it good. His brethren turning on him, selling him into slavery, trying to kill him, get rid of him. But God all along had a plan for him, and that plan was to preserve him for when the time would come when this famine would hit Egypt, because Joseph had the wisdom of God, and God told him, he'd given him dreams and showed him what to do to prepare for the days that are coming. I want to tell you something. God has already showed us what to do to be prepared for what's coming. I tell you this, I ain't going to be here during the 7 years of tribulation, but I'm prepared and I know what's coming. I can tell you right now, the devil, the Antichrist, his system is rising up its head in this earth. And you know what he wants? He wants control. And then you know what? Something hit me the other day. We used to say, yeah, the great whore in the Bible, the book of Revelation, it's the Catholic Church. I don't believe that no more. I used to think some of that may be true, but if you want to know who that great whore is, the worst of the worst of the false religions, just take a look at Palestine. Take a look at Islam. Take a look at Muslim religion. Hello. Boy, y'all quiet yet, like you're scared. There is your brainwashed, indoctrinated from the time their little bitty babies, the boys, are told and taught to hate the Jews, hate America, to kill people. That right there, my friend, that's the system of the devil. That is a system that if he could, he can't, but he would like to use that system. Look at our nation, how it's been infiltrated. You know what they would really like to do to America? Some of you young people better wake up. You better get your brain together. You better get your act together. I see you see them interviewing young people at these protests. They don't even know what they're there for. They're just following somebody else. If somebody else jumps off the bridge, are you going to jump off? You don't do what everybody else does. You listen to the word of God. And I know a lot of those people, they go just for the show. They want to be on TV. You know, it's funny, everybody's still wearing a mask outside. That's what robbers do. That's what thieves do. Under the cover of a mask. And that what we see going on. Look, Satan is trying to plan some things for this nation. And these idiot leaders of ours are letting it happen. They're letting it happen. America ain't going to be the America we knew before too much longer if something don't turn around, if God don't do something. And I do believe God has a plan. But it ain't so much with the king of Egypt or the president of the United States, because God is God and God can do anything he wants to do. All he has to do is just give favor to his people. And he did that with Joseph, and he's put Joseph in a position that when that famine came, that 7 years, which we believe represents the 7 year tribulation period, because he during the 7 years of prosperity laid everything up, put it in the storehouses so that when the famine came, listen, the Bible tells us a parable about 10 virgins. 5 wise and 5 unwise, who all had lamps that were supposed to be lit up with oil, and the bridegroom was going to come out to meet them soon and very soon. But when the bridegroom showed up, only 5 of those virgins had oil in their lamps. Only 5 of them had light shining. And the others all of a sudden looked around and said, "We don't have no light. We don't have no oil. Give us your oil." They said, "Sorry, we can't give you oil. You're going to have to go get your own." I want to tell you something. You ain't going to get salvation from the church. You ain't going to get it from water baptism. You ain't going to get it from shaking a preacher's hand. You're going to have to go to
Jesus like I went to Jesus. I said, you're going to have to go to the Lord if you want some light to fill your soul up. You're going to have to go to Jesus on your own. You can't get this from a man. Salvation doesn't come to a man. The light that lights a man's soul comes from above. It don't come from the church. And when the bridegroom came, he took the five wise with him and the others were left. What's the point? How many people are going to be sitting? Well, if the rapture happened this morning, right now, all across this nation, the world, and people were sitting in churches, so-called, on pews, I wonder how many would really be leaving. Only those who are born again. Only those who know Jesus, because if you don't, you're going to be left behind. You've got to get your own. You've got to have your own encounter with Jesus. You ain't getting to heaven off my back. You ain't riding off the coattail of a family member. It don't care how many generations of preachers have been in your family. You ain't getting to heaven because of that. You must be born again. You must accept Jesus Christ into your heart. Make him your Savior. And Joseph, the Bible said that God used Joseph and his family. He began to multiply the families. His father, Jacob, the families of Israel at that time. We know this was some of the families by which this nation of Israel would begin to come into development. The Bible said that Joseph died, but God used Joseph to give that wealth, to bless his family, to see his father again, to let his to see his brothers face to face and let them recognize what they did to him, and everything was made right with them. And then the Bible said after that generation was gone, Joseph died and a new Pharaoh. There's always going to be a new one. Always going to be a new leader. Always going to be another president. Always going to be somebody different. And it said that he didn't know Joseph, so he didn't know much of anything about the things that had taken place years before. But it said that he said unto his people, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. So this king notices and recognizes these people, Israel, and how that they had begun to multiply in the land, and he feels threatened by them. You know, our leaders today, they don't like Christianity. They do not like people that are truly born again. People who have values, people who have morals, people who don't just talk about the Bible, but they do everything they can to live the Bible. And we saw in the last five or six, before this president here, we saw how God used the former president to begin to multiply our nation. Prosper us. Look, who all benefited? Everybody benefited. The church benefited. Christians benefited, the world benefited, the economy benefited, everything. I mean, God was using him to help bring blessing to our nation, but not only that, but he didn't go against the Bible. He stood for the Bible. Even though I don't even believe he knows the Lord, he still believes in freedom according to the Word of God, and he stood on it. And when he was gone, when they come in, what did they do? Reversed every single thing he did because they hate him. And listen, because they hate Christianity. They hate true biblical Christianity. They hate God. That's who they hate. And they want to do everything they can to destroy this nation from within. But God can make a way. He sees them. He says, they're mightier than us. They're more than us. So the Bible said that he told his servants, he said, let us come on and deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. We can't have them multiplying. We don't need any more Christians in our nation. We don't need any more morals and values. We don't need them to multiply. We need to stamp them out, stomp them out, get rid of them. We need to oppress them. We need to make them our slaves because we, you know, they're threatened. You see, the devil is threatened by the power of God. Satan knows the power of God. He knows where it is and he knows where it ain't. He knows what's real and he knows what's not real. But he's still threatened by those who don't just talk about Jesus, they know Jesus. I said the devil is threatened not by those who just talk about him, but those who know him. And for every single person in this place who knows him, the devil has said the same thing about you. I'm going to shut you up. I'm going to oppress you. I'm going to shut you down. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to make you sick. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that because he's threatened by your very existence. How can you prove that? Read Job. Read the book of Job. He said, let's deal wisely with them lest they multiply. And basically, if we let them keep growing and war breaks out, they may join our enemies and they'll defeat us. And we can't have that. So let's oppress them. Let's make them our slaves. That's what these people want to do to us, church. That's what these idiot leaders, they want you. And you know what? The sad thing is, half of them, they done made their slaves. They're doing their bidding. God help us. We don't need Christians doing it. We need somebody with their hands screwed on right that knows the word of God and knows the difference between a man and a woman. Who knows what male and female is according to the word of God. There ain't no in-betweens. You're one or the other. If you're trying to change yourself, the devil is trying to use that to oppress you. He's going to use that to put you in bondage. He's trying to use that to destroy you, to confuse you, to brainwash you. Well, I ain't really what I was born. Yes, you are. The devil has come along and tried to use this garbage to twist your mind to take you to hell. Government don't want to hear that. Joe Biden don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that, but see, that's the Bible. Man's problem is sin. He's born of the devil. Yep, born of the devil. Dominated by sin. Led, you know, once you, many people start out practicing things that at the first, it's not so bad. I remember when I started playing with alcohol when I was young. At first, it wasn't so bad. We were having a good time. This is good stuff. This is giving me the buzz I like. I'm numb. I'm wild. I'm crazy. I like this. You like it until you come into bondage to it. And see, here's what a lot of people say. They say, well, it's a choice. Well, it is and it ain't. You choose to drink. Yeah. You make that choice. But if you drink more and more and more, it gets to the place where it's no longer a choice. It's a bondage. Do I got anybody here that knows what I'm talking about? No, it ain't a choice anymore. It's a bondage. That means you're a slave to it. You can't quit it. And matter of fact, if some of us be truthful, many of us were saying, I don't want to do it anymore. Come on. We were saying, I want out of it. But the problem was we couldn't get out of it. Yeah, we made the choice to begin to do the drugs and to do the drinking, to smoke the crack or whatever. But when it became a bondage, people say, well, why can't they just quit? You can't. Why can't you quit gossiping? Why can't you quit rolling your eyes? Why can't you quit being self-righteous toward people? Why can't you stop sipping on the Budweiser? Why can't you... It becomes a bondage. And then it's no longer enjoyable. You're doing it out of habit. You're doing it because something inside of you is overcoming you. Let me tell you what that something is. It's called sin. It's a sin nature. We're all born with it. And we all have different proclivities. You're drawn to certain things. And whatever that thing is, the devil wants to use it to put you into bondage to it. And not just bad things, even the good things. Look, the sports, nothing wrong with sports, but you can make a god out of sports. You can be in bondage to a race car. You can be in bondage to a football. You can be in bondage to a tennis racket. You can be in bondage to a soccer ball. You can be in other words, that you make that your life. All you think about is that one thing. That's what your life consists of. It's a bondage and it's a good thing. But it's tied you down. And that's all your world revolves around. I know I spent 3 or 4 years in my world, my world only revolved around a boxing ring. Training to go to National Golden Gloves. Trying to get to the 96 Olympics. I eat it. I slept it. I worked it. And that's all I did. And you know, the Lord, I look back today and see how God got in my way. Caused some things to happen that I didn't expect to happen. And I didn't go in the direction I thought I was going in. And I looked back today and I thought, that's exactly what that was my God. That sport. That's all I gave my life to. Every morning, just about up in the morning, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, running 2 or 3 miles before I go to work. Go to work and work out in the middle of the summer, 90-degree weather, wearing a sweatshirt with a trash bag underneath it and another shirt over it, and sweating all day long just to keep my weight down so that I would be on weight when I got to tournaments. People walking by like, what in the world? What's that noise? Guy walked by me one day on the job and said, what's that noise you get around you? I had a trash bag on. He heard it squishing. I said, it's a trash bag. He's like, what? I said, I box. I said, I'm trying to keep my weight. And he said, dude, you're crazy. He was right. I used to go sit up in the attic. Walk up in the attic, have him shut the door on me. Sit in the attic for over 30 minutes at a time with a trash bag on. Sweating. And come out of the attic drenched and soaked. All for what? To be the best. To win the tournament. To have this. To have that. And all it was becoming was a bondage. I mean, look, there's nothing wrong. Sports ain't bad. It's not the sport. It's what you make out of it. You can't put anything before God because it becomes a bondage to you. He sees these people growing and multiplying. He says, we got to stop this. We can't have this. So he set taskmasters over them who put them under a system of slavery. They basically made them their slaves. Satan wants to make the child of God his slave once again. You were his slave before you got saved, but when you met Jesus, he set you free. But don't think that old Pharaoh, don't you think that Satan is going to give up? Don't you think that he ain't going to try to use something to try to pull you into bondage? Because he will. And we see that in this story, they say we're threatened by them. We can't have this. We got to dominate them. And we can't have them multiplying and outgrowing us because they're a threat to us. So he set taskmasters over them. They made slaves out of them and said that they made their lives hard. They made them to serve with rigor. They were ruthless to them. They were cruel to them. They worked them to death, made them their slaves. Again, that's what Satan wants to do to you. He wants to make us a slave of his. And it said they set over them taskmasters. They afflicted them with the burdens, and they begin to build cities for them, getting all this labor for free. Boy, you know people like that. Maybe feeding them a little bit of nothing just to have a little bit of strength to keep them working. And that's again, just think about, this is how Satan works on God's people. He wants to slave you in the ground for you just to have a little bit of nothing. When Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and life more abundantly. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life. It said this, but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. I like God. I like how God does things. Listen, America, listen. Washington, the more they afflicted them, the more they attacked them, the more they come against them, the more they try to weigh them down, shut them up, shut them out, make slaves out of them. The Bible said it backfired on them. They didn't get rid of them. They began to multiply and they started growing even more. I'm believing that God in these last days, in the midst of the affliction that we see going on in America, this is what's going to happen in the church. It's going to backfire on the devil, praise God, and we ain't going down, we going up. I said we ain't going out, we going in. We ain't going to go out here defeated and run down and beat down by the devil. Let that devil bring it on. Because I got a God in heaven that's able to raise me up by the power. If you're feeling tired this morning, I know somebody that's got some power to pick you up. If you're weighed down with sin, I know somebody that can pull you out. If you're tired of your sickness, if you're tired of your sin, if you're tired of your drugs, if you're tired of your alcohol, let me tell you about Jesus. He's a deliverer. The more they afflicted them, some of y'all are afflicted this morning. I feel it. You're afflicted here. You're troubled. You're worried. You're scared. You're nervous. You need the help of the Lord. You don't need the help of the church. You need the help of the Lord. Yeah, you need other people praying for you, but you need God's help. You need the deliver. You need to experience the delivering power of God, because this is real. God's power is real. You know where the Bible says it dwells? In us. If he that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in your mortal body, he shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that lives in you. Who lives in you? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Who lives in you? So if the devil is putting pressure on this morning, let it backfire on him. Don't let it push you away from God. Don't let it cause you to become prideful. Don't sit there and say, I don't have no problem, when you know good and well you worried yourself to death. You got problems and you act like everything's okay when it ain't okay. You know good and well you need God's help. So what you need to do is what they begin to do. When you get tired of it, when you get sick of it, when you say, Lord, I'm tired of this, I don't want to live like this no more, Lord God, help me down here. God, are you there? Lord, I need help. Would you have mercy on me? God, I need you in my family. I need you in my church. I need you on the job. Lord, would you come and help me? Instead of being all prideful, we're just going to toughen up through it. I'll show them how strong I am. God will show you how weak you are. You got to get sick of it. You got to get tired of it. You got to get tired of the fighting, the arguing, the cussing, the drinking, the smoking, the whatever. You got to get tired of it. You got to get tired of the drugs. You got to come to the place to where you're at the end of your resources. and you have no way out, that's where God wants you. To be honest with you, that's where he wants you every day. But it's too sad that too many Christians have to get to this place over and over and over and over, but it ain't God's will. Because God wants to bring you out, take you out, and keep you out for you never again to return in bondage to the devil. He don't want you a slave to Pharaoh. He don't want you a slave to the government. He don't want you a slave to your job. He wants you to be a servant of the Most High God. He wants you to be able to serve him with freedom. He wants you to be able to get up in the morning and say, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. He wants you praising him on the job. He wants you praising him while your husband's mad at you. He wants you praising him while your kids ain't acting right. He wants you to say, Lord, I need your help down here, and I'm going to thank you for what you're going to do. Hallelujah. You got to get sick of it. You got to get sick of it. And then you got to do what they begin to do. They begin to cry out. That's what the Lord wants. Cry out. Go to him. Take your issues to him. And when you do, he's going to show you an answer. And I'm going to tell you what that answer is. Moses, we all know the story of Moses. Moses was a miracle baby. Moses, by all accounts, shouldn't even have been alive. Moses should have been dead. Because Satan had his eye on that baby. But you know, the devil can't just do whatever he wants to do with anybody. When God's got a plan for somebody's life, I don't care how many car wrecks you've been in. I don't care how many bar rooms you've been in. I don't care how many fights you've been in. I don't care how many accidents you've been in. When God's got a plan for your life, that devil can try everything he wants to take you out. But God can watch over you. God can protect you. God, look, the devil ain't going to be able to just come in and do whatever he wants. God says, I got a plan for Moses. I got a plan for you. I got a plan for you. I got a plan for you watching through the internet. And it might look like the devil's having his way, but just hold on, because I'm about to show up and I'm going to put him in his place and I'm going to turn some things around. Amen. Devil ain't in control. He wants you to think he is. But Moses, the miracle baby, the Lord spoke something to me about Malachi a while back and related Moses to me. The Lord told me, I'll tell you. He said, as I watched over Moses and preserved him, I'm going to watch over Malachi and preserve him. That might not make you happy, but he's my grandson. It makes me really happy. Because the devil can't just do whatever he wants to do. He may try. But you see, God has a way of stepping in. God has a way of changing things. God has a way of turning things around. And he just wants us to trust him. Moses was raised up by God to be what? The deliverer. He's a type of Jesus Christ, the one whom God would send to deliver humanity from the powers of darkness. And just at the Lord showed me this morning, just at the right time. Timing means everything. You know, your time ain't God's time. Your ways ain't God's ways. Your thoughts are not God's thoughts. You don't ever sit back and try to rationalize and think out how you believe a certain situation is going to turn out for somebody, because it'll never work the way you think. It won't happen. Drop it. Forget it. Quit trying to do it. God always does things in a way that confound us to show us how he can do things, and he don't need our help. The only thing he needs from you is your faith. And because these people got to the end of the road and they started crying out, God raised up Moses, and we know the story of Moses, how God raised him up. The intention was to kill him, to get rid of him, but God said, put him in a basket. Miriam, put him in a basket. Mama, put him in a basket. How would you, mother, what would you have thought if God has spoke to you and told you, take your baby, a little infant baby, put him in that basket and float him down the river? What would you have done? We know what most mothers would have done. You're crazy. I ain't putting my baby in nothing. But see, that's carnal-minded thinking. But you see, those who know the voice of God, we don't question God when he tells us to do something that just don't make too much sense. Like build a building out back. We don't question God. We just do what we can do to do it. She sends the baby down the river. She lets go because she believes that God somehow, listen, mama and daddy, give your children to the Lord. Give your children to the Lord. Turn them over to the Lord. Let God have his way with them. Pray for them. Pray with them. But take your hands off the situation because you can't fix them. You can't even fix yourself. Let God have his way. Release them. Turn loose of them. I know it ain't an easy thing to do. I had a hard time doing it with my little girl. I know it hurt, but I found out it was one of the best things I ever... Get out, devil. My voice, this stuff on and off, on and off, on and off. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Let's lick it. When the Lord says you got to let go, back up, turn loose of them, let me have my way. And it's one of the best things you can ever do because you get released inwardly. You realize, look, these ain't mine. These are the Lord's. God, look, your children, parents, really, they're not yours. God loaned them to you. God gave them to you to train, to teach, to know him, to be used of him. And so, in a sense, you don't own them. The Lord owns them. God owns us. And yes, we have to teach them. We have to raise them. We have to, you know, teach them right and wrong and all this, the Bible. But really, I was thinking about this the other day, these little babies, like, and I think about Malachi, and these little beautiful babies that come out, how so beautiful these babies are, and you look and you think, and that little thing's got a soul, it's got a spirit. The Bible says God is the one who put the soul and spirit into that baby. God is the one who created your children. Their looks, their hair color, their eye, look, God made them the way that they are. You think, oh, it's just all genetics. No, it ain't. God is the, before you were formed in your belly, God said to Jeremiah, I knew you. I created you. I formed you. You're just what I want you to be. Come on, somebody. And yes, they have genetics. They have traits of parents and grandparents and all this stuff. And I don't know why it is that some come out looking just like one parent, don't look like the other one, or they look like grandparents. But God knows. God created them. He has a plan for them. And these young people today, God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. And I'll tell you something else, the devil does too. And you better know he's real. And you better know he has power. And you better know that if you turn yourself over to him in any manner, he'll control you. He'll rule you. And you'll never be able to get out of it unless you surrender to the power of God. Unless you yield your life to Jesus Christ, you'll never be able to come out of it. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. Some of us have been in this building. We've been there. We know what hard bondage is. We know what brick and mortar is. We know what serving the devil was like. We know what living an awful, miserable lifestyle was like. Hello? And that's why the Bible says, I think, you know, the scripture says, he that has been forgiven much, he loveth much. Well, just make me a lover of much, Lord, and help me to love you more, because I don't ever want to forget what you brought me out of. I don't ever want to forget where I was. I don't want to ever forget the hatred, the envy, the animosity, the bitterness, the anger inside of me. But praise God, when I got saved, Jesus turned all the anger into love. He turns all the hate into joy. He'll turn your life around. God was trying to destroy me as a young person, but God stepped in. The devil was trying to destroy me, but the Lord stepped in, me and my wife, and turned everything around, saved us, delivered us from the bondage and the misery and the pain and the fighting and the fussing and the cussing and the running off all the time, drinking, drugging, getting drunk, doing this, doing that. It's the only way out of it is to come to Jesus. But you've got to get sick of it. You have to get fed up with it. And just at the right time, God raised up Moses. God said, it's time. They need to get desperate. They need to get sick of being slaves to Pharaoh. And that time came, and God raised up Moses. And this is where the story picks up. The Bible said that God raised up Moses. Let me go back to it. I'm all over the place here, but you stay with me. The Bible said he brought Moses onto the scene. He reveals himself to Moses. And we all know Moses already got in the flesh. Moses already tried to conduct his ministry on his own, in his flesh, end up killing a man. God put him on the backside of the desert about 40 years. And so he had to do some training, preparation there, and teach him how to, you know, to break him from his flesh and how to listen to the voice of the Lord. And that when God tells him to do something, he just does it. That's what God wants with us. When he says do it, just do it. You don't ask him why. You don't never ask God, why do you want me to do that? If he says do it, you just do it. If you feel like he says do something, then sometimes the best thing to do is don't go telling everybody else, because they'll talk you out of it. You tell the wrong person, the devil will use somebody to talk you out of it. Because everybody don't understand the voice of God. Everybody don't believe that when the Lord says something at times, that he really meant what he said. Because in the natural, oh, that's all they see. In the carnal, all they can think about is that don't make sense. But everything I've ever seen God do just sometimes don't make sense. But it always works out. Somehow, some way, he always comes through. And he said to Moses, I've surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. He says, I've seen it. Look, God sees us today. You know that old little song, you can't hide from God. God's going to get you for that. God's going to get you for that. There's no place to run and hide, because he knows where you're at. No, he ain't looking to get you. Oh, yeah, he is, but he ain't. He's not looking to kill you because you've done things wrong. Yeah, he wants to get you. He wants to get you saved. He wants to get your heart. He wants to get your soul. He wants to get you to live for him. That's what he wants. So he sent Moses, a type of Christ, and said, I've seen the affliction of my people that are in Egypt. He said, I've heard their cry. He hears your heart. You may look good in a crowd, but down in here, you're dying. I know, come on somebody. You may look good around your friends, but down in here, you're dying. You're the light is off inside. It's nothing but darkness. It's misery. It's bondage. Every night you lay your head down, you know your life ain't right. You know things are not right. You're not where you're supposed to be. And the devil wants to try to use that to destroy you, but God wants to use it to reach you. He said, I know their sorrows. I see them. I hear them. And I know what's going on with them. So Moses, he said, I'm coming down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Listen, 2,000 years ago, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, who was foreordained from the foundation of the world. It wasn't an accident. It was not a mistake. It wasn't pre-organized by religious people, even though it was in a sense, but God purposely sent his son in the flesh for what? To go to the cross, to be sacrificed, to be nailed to a tree, to shed his blood, to open up the way, so I'm hot enough, to open the way so that you and me, people born in sin, people bound by the devil, look, the lost and the Christians that are in bondage to the works of the flesh, God sent Jesus to deliver you out of bondage. He didn't die to leave you there. I'm telling you, he wants to bring you out today. Jesus didn't die just to save you and leave you where you are. He wants you out of Egypt. He wants you out from under the hand of Pharaoh. He wants you out of that bondage. He wants you out of the drugs. He wants you out of the alcohol. He wants you out of the sexual immorality. He wants you out. And he's the only one who can bring us out. The only one. I've come down to deliver them. And 2,000 years ago, he did. God sent his son, Jesus. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might have life, that they may have salvation. But not only that, so also that the Christian who is in bondage to the works of the flesh can be delivered also. I've come down. Remember, look, Scripture says these are God's people. These are not heathen. These are the people he's called by name. These are the people that he had a big plan for. His people. But his people are servants of Satan. They're under the hand of a dictator. They're oppressed. They're depressed. They're taking drugs today. They're drinking. They're trying to drown out the problems with the things of the world. And look, the problems don't go away. They keep coming back. Life don't get better. It only gets worse. If you got a problem today, they want to send you to a psychiatrist. If you're a Christian with a problem, well, then you've got a mental problem. You got psychiatric issues. You need to go to the counselor. You need to go to the psychiatrist. What you really need, you just need drugs. No, you don't. You need Jesus. You need the blood. You need the cross. There's the best medicine for you. The blood. It gives me strength from day to day. It'll never lose its power. Half of y'all don't believe that. That's what's wrong with our church. Half of y'all don't even believe that. You're stuck with, I'm saved. I know that sounds bold, but it's the truth, because I already know, because the Lord showed me. There's too much unbelief in our church about the message of the cross for sanctification, change, deliverance. People are hearing, but people are not applying. And the devil keeps coming back to some of y'all doing the same old thing over and over, and you keep falling for it. Why are you letting that happen? Your deliverer, 2,000 years ago, died not just to save you, but to deliver you from the bondages of the flesh. If this is not true, throw the New Testament out. throw Paul's writings out. That's what the devil would like to do. Discount Paul, the man that God gave this understanding to, the man who experienced the bondage of the flesh after he was saved and miserable. And see, if you operate in unbelief, you'll stay in bondage to the flesh. God don't want unbelief toward this message. He's looking for people who will believe it, apply it, and let him work in their heart and in their life. And I said this the other night. When we do this, I want to tell you something. You want to talk about a revival in your soul? You want to talk about some lights getting turned on? You want to talk about seeing things different? Our church will come alive. You'll be here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday evening. Come on. You'll be on fire again. You'll be serious about the things of God. But you see, when we get into that state, if you're not careful, you can get to the place to where you're just satisfied where you are. You know, like old Pharaoh, when Moses said, "When do you want these frogs to leave?" He said, "Tomorrow." Are you serious? That's what some of y'all been saying. Tomorrow. When do you want your flesh to leave? Oh, tomorrow. When do you want that misery to leave? When do you want that bondage to leave? Oh, tomorrow. I'm okay, preacher. Don't you know? I've been in church all my life. I've been saved. I've been baptized. I do this and I've done that. And man, I'm really smart. Ain't a person in this place smart enough to get to heaven. God didn't say you have to be smart enough to be born again. He said you believe his gospel. You believe his word. You believe. Look, you take what is written in this word and you either believe it or you don't. And I'm going to say something else while I'm here, because I feel like that I should. If there are people in your life that are contradicting the message of the cross for sanctification, change, the change that you and I need, and they're pointing you to something else other than this, they're being used of the devil. Because this is the answer, and the answer alone. And if you allow yourself to be confused by false doctrine, you'll stay in bondage. But the Lord said, "I'm going to bring them out. Moses, I'm sending you." And Moses says, "But you know, I can't talk. I can't spell. I can't really read so good. I might stumble a little bit. I might stutter a little bit." And God said, "I ain't worried about any of that, because your inconsistencies of in your flesh or your frailties, I'm not concerned about that, Moses. All I need you to do is be a mouthpiece for me. Don't stumble around in that reverse pride if God's put a call on your life, but I can't." God says you can with my help. You can with him. The Bible says, "The children of Israel has come unto me. Their cry has come unto me. I've seen the oppression where the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore," he said, "I'll send you to Pharaoh that you may bring forth my people out of Egypt." And the Bible tells us, we all know the end of the story. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. Because Moses obeyed what the Lord told him to do. "Moses, take that rod. And I want you to take your brother Aaron with you. And I want you to walk up. I want you to march up into Pharaoh's palace. And I want you to tell him what I tell you to tell him." Now, how would you have felt if God told you that? If God told you, "You got access to the President of the United States. You got access to Washington. You got access." And God told you, "I want you to walk up in there and I want you to give him a message for me." And what's the message? Here it is. "Let my people go." A Pharaoh
God sent me here. God who? Jehovah sent me here. Who sent you here? The I Am sent me here. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the resurrection. I am the power. I am your God. I am what you need. Jesus, the great I Am, has come up into the devil's kingdom, and he's ready to deliver some people. He's ready to pull some people out of bondage.
He said, the I Am sent me. And he didn't buckle. He didn't give in at first. He probably laughed at him. Are you crazy? Walking up in here with some stick telling me what I'm going to do. Who do you think you are? I'm telling you, Pharaoh, God said, let his people go. And if you wise, you'll let them go. Because it ain't me you're dealing with, Pharaoh. It's God you're dealing with. These are his people. These are his children. He said to tell you that he's been hearing their cry. He knows that you've been oppressing them. He's been watching over them. And he told me to tell you that you're going to let them go one way or the other. So you might as well go on and do it right now. But if you don't, I'm going to come back tomorrow. And the first time he didn't give in, Moses came back again. And he come back the second time, listen, the same message. Thus saith the Lord. What's your problem this morning? Thus saith the Lord. The Lord said to the devil, let my people go. Let my people go. And 2,000 years ago, I'm going to say it again. Jesus Christ let God's people go. He let us go from the powers of darkness. He let us go from drugs. He let us go from alcohol. He let you go from witchcraft. He let you go from self-righteousness. He let you go free from the power of the devil. And you marched out of Egypt with your head up high. And you said, look what the Lord has done. Yes. I knew we were going to have a good one this morning. I could feel it. Let my people go. I believe God is still saying the same thing today in America and to the churches of America. Listen, you know who the modern day pharaohs are? Preachers. False prophets. Holding God's people in bondage with psychology, psychiatry, medicine, professional help, group therapy. There's your modern day pharaohs right there. Keeping God's people in bondage when Jesus Christ shed his blood and died on the cross to free us from every single thing that plagues us. There is nothing hard about understanding what I'm telling you. Nothing. But why is it that so many Christians that you get pushback when you start talking about having complete deliverance? Don't you want it? Aren't you sick of the misery? Aren't you sick of the lifestyle? If you're lost this morning, you don't know Jesus, aren't you sick of the emptiness? Aren't you tired of the life that you're living? Or, you know, you got pain inside. You got problems. Your family's not good. You weren't raised very good. Well, join about half the rest of us. Because some of us, we weren't either. But I can tell you this, God can turn things around. God can take a situation to where the devil has tried to completely destroy you and turn it around and save you and change you and bring you out of bondage and make you a testimony of his grace. I like what y'all said this morning, Miss Grace, about that whatever happened the other day with a bunch of the young people. A lot of the young people, the attacks are against most of the young people today. It's the younger generation that Satan's going after, but God is backfiring in some areas. Some people are getting saved through it. They're being baptized publicly saying they want to accept Jesus. That's a good thing. God, let it happen in Athens, Tennessee, Lord. Let it happen in Family Worship Center, God. We need some young people here, Lord. Get a hold of them. Shake them up around this town, God. Shake them up in this church.
get a hold of them, God. Don't let them go to bed tonight lost and on their way to hell.
Thus saith the Lord, let my people go. I'm about finished. God sent all the plagues. The plagues didn't do anything. The plagues only hardened Pharaoh's heart. He said, I ain't letting anybody go. And God said, well, Moses, one more time, go. He said, this time, he's going to let them go. I'm going to tell you what to do, Moses. Just do it. I'm about to pass through the land of Egypt tonight, and I'm going to smite all the firstborn in every home, from Pharaoh throughout, from the top to the bottom. And I'm going to show them I'm serious about what I'm saying, because these are my people, and I don't like what you're doing to them. God cares about his people. I want to tell you this one. If you're a child of God, God cares about you. Everything going on in your life, he cares about you. He's got his eye on you. The devil ain't in charge. He said, you take a lamb, you go into the houses tonight of Egypt, and you tell every one of my children, go and take a lamb into their home. You tell them I want them to sacrifice that lamb. You tell them I want to boil that lamb. I want them to eat that lamb. I want them to take the blood of that lamb. And tonight, before everybody goes, when they go inside their homes, you tell them, maybe it was the leader of the house, take the blood of that lamb and put it over the doorpost of your house. And he said, tonight, when I pass through the land of Egypt to smite all the firstborn, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I'm going to tell you, the only thing that's going to stop judgment on your life, nothing but the blood. The cross of Jesus Christ is the only thing that can stop the plague of sin. And sure enough, the death angel came. God sent him. You said, oh, God did? God sent it. And everybody who wouldn't buckle and wouldn't yield, the firstborn of those homes, they died. And it buckled Pharaoh until finally he said, take these people and get out of here. He said, oh, but before you leave, bless me. And we all know the end of the story. They all marched out. They were delivered from the bondage of Pharaoh. That whole story is a type of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died on the cross to break the power of the devil in our life. Hebrews 2:14 says this, for as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, meaning Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. You need deliverance today? Good news. I know somebody who can deliver you. Miss Grace, would you come? You need salvation today? Good news. I know somebody that can save you. You need freedom from something in your life today? I know somebody that can give you that freedom. Stand to your feet if you would. Anna Kate, would you come, honey, till Michaela can get back in here? Oh, the blood of Jesus. Listen, as they get ready to play, to sing, listen, I want everyone to bow your head and close your eyes. Going to pray, but before we do, I want to ask you the question this morning. Where is your heart? Where is your life today with Jesus Christ? Do you know him? Have you been born again? Have you been washed in the blood? Have you really met the Lord? If you haven't, today he's calling to you. He's saying, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Let me tell you, that rest is a beautiful thing because it comes from the inside. If you're here today and you're lost, first things first, if you don't know Jesus, I want you to slip up your hand and say, I want you to pray with me, Brother Thomas. You slip your hand up if you don't know him. If you're not saved, I want you to slip your hand up. You're watching through that camera. You too. If you're not saved, God sees you right where you are. You're not saved. I'm going to give you the opportunity. If you're not saved, slip that hand up. And you know you're not. You know your heart's not right with God. It's time to let Jesus come into your life. All right, part two. Here's the second part. Christian, there's things that are troubling you. There's things that have, not necessarily bad things, good things too, that have put you into bondage. And you need freedom today. You need deliverance today. You need the power of God to liberate you. And I'm telling you, He can. If you're in this place today and you're a Christian, and I believe that most everybody here is, and you have problems, there are bondages, there are things that Satan is trying to use to keep you down, Jesus Christ wants to bring you out. He wants to deliver you. She begins to sing. I'm going to ask you to come. There's an altar up here. There's a place where you can come. Bring those needs to the Lord. Bring those issues to the Lord. Lord, I need deliverance today. Lord, I need whatever that thing is. You come and you bring it to the Lord today. You open your heart up. You pour it out and you say, Lord, I'm bringing this bondage to you. I'm bringing this person to you. I'm bringing this issue to you. I'm bringing my job to you. I'm bringing my family to you. Lord, I'm bringing it all to you today. You're weighed down with it, and you need freedom from it. Right down here, folks, look. Right down here is a place to meet with God and say, Lord, I need deliverance today. I need deliverance today. I need freedom today. There's power in the blood. Come on, church, there's power in the blood.
There is power in the blood.
Well, I feel the Spirit of God moving in here. Lord is speaking to people. You're going to have to take a step of faith. Whatever He's dealing with you about, you need to get out of that seat and make your way down to this front and say, Lord, help me today. He knows what's going on in here. He sees what's going on. He's looking for somebody to cry out to Him. He's waiting on somebody to say, Lord, I need your help today. Lord, I need your deliverance today. Lord, I need your power today. Lord, I need your strength today. Come on, church. There's more of you. I feel it. The Lord wants to touch some of you. He wants to give you deliverance today. He wants to give you freedom today. You take a step of faith and you watch what God will do. He'll move the devil out of the way. And He'll touch you. There's victory. And freedom and power in the blood. What's got you weighed down this morning? Come down here and let Jesus lift it. What are you weighed down with this morning? Come on, let the Lord lift it off of you. Walk out of this place set free today. Walk up out of here today knowing that you met with God today. Come on, church. Lord, of a son, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your power today. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Lord, move through this sanctuary. Touch every person in this place, God, right now. Lord, let conviction sweep through this place, God. Let the power of God hit your people, Lord. Come on, church, begin to pray. It washes. What do you need freedom from? Go on and give it to the Lord. Call it out to Him. Say, Lord, I need freedom from this. I need deliverance from this. Open up to Him this morning. There is power. Power, yes. Power to set you free.
Power in the blood of
Jesus.
It washes.
It washes white as snow.
Come on, just begin to praise Him, church. Praise Him. You need prayer this morning. I want to encourage you again. You can come. If there's something you need to take to the Lord, or right where you are, just slip your hands up. Lord, I'm giving it to you. It's yours, Lord. It's not mine. It's yours. It's not my problem, God. It's your problem. Only you can fix it. Praise God.
Jesus.
It washes white as snow. Come on, the Lord's dealing with people. He's speaking to people. If there's something you need to come and lay down, keep on singing or something. To the highest mountain. Come on, let Him reach today. Let it reach today, church. Oh, praise God.
And it flows.
Thank you, Lord.
To the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Come on, church, begin to praise Him. It's the blood.
Oh, it's the blood.
The blood.
That gives me strength.
From day
from
to day.
Day.
Oh, look out, devil. You're in trouble.
It'll never lose its power. And it reaches to the high.
Somebody praise Him.
Oh,
it's the blood. Come on, church, lift your hands and praise Him. I feel the Spirit of God in this place. Let the Lord have His way in your life right now. It'll never. Oh, come on. Oh, praise God.
It's power.
Yeah, one more time singing. It reaches.
Oh, it reaches
to the high.
Yes, mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, it's the blood that gives me my strength.
Yes,
from day. Never lose.
soothes my doubts. Soothes my doubts.
It soothes my doubts. And it calms all of my fears.
Oh, yeah. Praise God.
Oh, and it dries all.
It can dry
all
of your
tears. Cause it's the blood that gives me my strength from day. Today, it will never lose its power.
It reaches. Let it reach. Let it reach to you.
And it reaches to the highest mountain. Oh, and it flows to the lowest. Blood that gives me my strength from day to day. It will never lose. It will never lose. It will never lose.
Praise the Lord. Anybody been touched today? Praise God. I tell you, I felt the battle in my spirit for the last two or three days about the service this morning. God wants to do something in every one of us. I'm telling you, he wants to do big things in this church. All he wants you to do is believe his word. The deliverer has come. Believe him. Trust him. Surrender to him. And you watch what God is going to do in your life. Watch what God's going to do in Family Worship Center. Watch what God's going to do in Africa. Watch what he's going to do in America. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go out with a shout. Tell the devil, devil, you got a head whooping today. And come back tonight at 5:30.
We hope you were blessed by the live service from Family Worship Center in Athens, Tennessee. Our weekly services are Sunday at 10:30 a.m., Sunday at 5:30 p.m., and Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Watch us live online at www.fwc-tn.com. You can also check us out on Facebook or YouTube. Family Worship Center is located at 250 County Road 378 in Athens, Tennessee. Send all correspondence to Family Worship Center, P.O. Box 118, Athens, Tennessee, 37303. For more information, you can call the church at 423-744-0774.